a grim statistic from Iraq this week. The number of Americans killed since President Bush declared that major combat had ended surpassed the number who were killed during the war. But both Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice say they're not particularly surprised by the ongoing attacks against U.S. and British troops. They say that occupying forces often come under attack, and they point to Allied troops in Germany after World War II who were harassed by a guerrilla organization called the Nazi Werewolves. Norman Moss is the author of a new book about World War II. He joins us from London. Mr. Moss, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello.
And Mr. Moss, who were the Werewolves?
They were a group formed by the SS in the last months of the war to wage guerrilla warfare in the areas of Germany occupied by the Allies, the Western Allies and the Russians.
Help us understand what kind of success, I guess we'd have to say success from their point of view, they had.
Well, they carried out attacks on American soldiers. They carried out acts of sabotage. Their targets were occupying troops and those who collaborated with occupying troops. For example, the very first city the Americans captured was Aachen. They appointed a mayor of Aachen, and the werewolves infiltrated a group into the city and assassinated him. Now, that must have sent a message to other Germans who were thinking of cooperating with the Americans.
Mm-hmm. Was this a popular-based movement or what amounted to a Nazi cult?
It was a Nazi cult. It was not popular-based. The Nazis were defeated totally, and I think the Germans accepted that. After the war ended, the numbers dwindled, and they were mostly remnants of the Hitler Youth. Some of them were extraordinarily young. The Americans captured a group of snipers who ranged in age from 14 down to 10.
Oh, my gosh. How smooth or difficult was life in post-war Germany?
Life in post-war Germany was awful. But remember, Germany had been bombed as no other modern country had ever been bombed. Its cities had been destroyed, not only by bombing, by fighting. Food was rationed, and the ration was about half of what is now deemed to be normal requirements for daily living. That's just one example.
And there was resentment toward the Allied occupying powers because of that?
Undoubtedly, yes, yes. But I don't think this took the form very often of support for the Nazi regime.
Mr. Moss, I'm going to ask you to, as a historian, then tread into contemporary territory. How valid does it strike you, any kind of illusion, comparison that is now made between the werewolves and elements in Iraq that are resisting U.S. and British forces?
Well, it really depends who those elements are. I mean, the werewolves were supporting an ideology and a regime and a system that had been defeated and discredited totally and absolutely. Although one of their aims was to keep the flame of Nazism burning, only a fantasist could think there was going to be a revival after the war. And they faded out. To that extent, anybody who fights as a supporter of the old Saddam regime bears direct comparison with the werewolves. On the other hand, if there are people in Iraq, if some of the people attacking the Americans and British are members of Al-Qaeda or an Al-Qaeda-type movement, which is simply opening up another front in the war against the West, that is something quite different, and they're likely to be around for quite a while.
Historian Norman Moss's latest book is 19 Weeks, America, Britain, and the Fateful Summer of 1940, speaking with us from London. Mr. Moss, thanks very much.
Not at all, Scott.